Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
43 minutes, huh? Must be a record. Now, on Sunday, next Sunday, the clocks will spring forward by 1 hour. On our smartphones, it'll happen automatically, which is great. But for many, there'll be a clock in the kitchen or sitting room that needs to be adjusted manually. Spare a thought for the Irish Museum of Time in Waterford. They have to move over 600 clocks forward before next Sunday. Rosemary Ryan is the curator and manager there. Hello, Rosemary.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Just come out here.
You sound sprightly for somebody who has such a huge body of work ahead of you this week.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's an honour. It's good fun. It's good crack. Join us, Ray.
Yeah. I'm intrigued because some of them have been moved forward already. Tell us about those, the 8-day clocks.
Yes. We have to wind those, the 8-day clocks anyway, you know, weekly. So, you know, those ones are easily got out of the way.
Right.
But it's the others, some of the others, you know, they all have their quirks and they all have to be treated properly.
Yeah. Would you know all 600 clocks individually? You'd have a sense
of
them.
I know I do to some extent. I know some of them better than others, you know, the more important ones.
The more important ones. What's the most important one then?
Well, we don't have absolutely all of them going, one of the most important ones would be a long case clock made by a French refugee in 1720 or so in Dublin,
right,
called Joel Hulbert, and it's a long case clock. So it really almost has a personality. It's probably the earliest Irish clock to survive in its entirety in its original state. It's 9 foot high. It's an absolutely gorgeous piece. So that would be one of the important clocks.
And of course, we referred to the face of a clock.
Yes. We call that, it's the face or the dial. You know,
yes.
We do indeed. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're beautiful pieces of furniture. They're masterpieces of science, technology and artistry. There are many people involved. I'm no expert, Ray, but I know a little bit, only a tiny bit, compared to, say, the donors or horologists. But, you know, it's gorgeous, it's fascinating, it's celebrating Irish craft, Irish science, you know.
Yeah, so and it is a marrying, it's a marrying of art and science, isn't it? Because
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the epitome of artistry and science of the time.
Yeah.
You know, much of it brought in by outsiders, which is a good story nowadays, you know, by Huguenots, for example, or Germans, you know, or Danish, particularly French and Swiss. So, Waterford has a unique connection also to horology. I could talk about that.
Go on. Yeah.
18th century. Yeah. In the 18th century, the elite watchmakers of Geneva, Switzerland, were being persecuted in Geneva, and they were much sought after throughout the world because they were going to be set up in a new industrial village, which would have, you know, transformed the industrial story of its wherever they were going to be brought to.
Uh-huh.
And Waterford won out in the contest, and they actually did come for a brief period in 1784, and we know they were here for about 6 years. The second assay office of Ireland was set up, which was no mean feat. Ultimately, and the government sponsored it, gave £50,000, which was a vast amount of money then,
yes,
you can imagine. They some of them came, and ultimately the project didn't succeed, but it would have transformed.
Yeah, that brief time, some of the best watchmakers in the world were in Waterford.
Yes, at the same time, but they wouldn't, they wouldn't have been on the same, at the same level as this huge number of elite watchmakers from Geneva, you know, that would have absolutely transformed, you know, Waterford and Irish industrial history. It was an entire village planned, the plans were done by James Gandon, the leading 18th century architect. We have the plans on display. Later on, the lovely buildings were used as a barracks to put down the 1798 rebellion, so they're known today as the Geneva Barracks, New Geneva originally.
Yeah.
And we have the plans on display. We have a beautiful watercolour of Passage East, the little village they would have come to, that they would have docked in, etc. And we have a gold watch belonging to the army captain who would have put down the 1798 rebellion. And we have Swiss clocks in that area and Swiss watches, one more important than the
Brilliant.
Other.
Now, just before we get back to this week's job of work, moving 600 clocks forward for the change in time, what's it like surrounded by all those timekeeping pieces and the constant ticking and the constant cuckooing and the constant ringing?
Well, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's musical, you know,
yeah.
And I think that's a sense that museums perhaps don't appeal enough to, you know, for the visitor experience. But here you have beating hearts all around you and you have musical clocks playing their tunes,
yeah.
You know,
do you have...
you know, and chiming and pealing. Mm. I mean, you know, some of us grew up with, and some. I think to some extent, when people hear the chimes, now Christchurch Cathedral in Waterford, they play their bells a lot, and we all enjoy it. It's, you know, it's just a feature of the city. But some of us grew up with that, and some of us didn't. And but it's, you know, it's a musical experience. It's great.
Yeah, and do some of them sound at every half hour?
They sound on the hour.
On the hour.
Yeah, some of them sound. Some of them sound. No, well, you're right. You're right. Some of them sound on the quarter hour.
Yes.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
And the half hour.
So when does the work start? How many people are involved?
Yeah. So we can't get it all done on Saturday evening.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We'd never get home.
Okay.
So. So we do actually. We have a schedule, and we just do it during the week while we can.
Yes.
You know, and we might get a run at it one day, you know, if the museum is quiet, which it never is, and we just go for it, and we might work an evening, and the donors come, and, you know, it's become a bit of a ritual, so it's absolutely fabulous. But it's short, it's quicker in springtime than it is in the autumn, because you're only going on an hour, you know, whereas in the autumn, you know, because you know, you have to do it properly, and
what
you're moving
properly?
The hands on, properly is clockwise moving the hands.
Okay, so yeah.
Rule number one is never move the hands backwards of a clock.
I never knew
you
that.
Know, see, well, you obviously it needs a little bit of training, you know, a little bit of knowledge.
So we'll talk to you then in October. So in October,
yes,
you have to move them 23 hours around.
23 hours back, yeah.
My word.
Yeah. So, you know, I need the donors then to stop at chiming 23 times. You know, to hold the little hammer off the
right.
off the bells.
So you're going, this is easy. This is easy by comparison.
Yeah.
This is easy by comparison,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Great.
We're
definitely going to visit this summer. We haven't been there yet as a family. The
All
Irish
right,
Museum of Time
you.
In Waterford.
We'd love to
600
have you.
Clocks moving forward for the change in time next weekend.
Yes.
And the curator and manager, Rosemary Ryan, there. Thanks, Rosemary. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye now.
Yeah,
bye.
Take
the Ray
care.
Darcy
bye.
Show on RTE Radio 1.